Some of them leaving. How far can I wander away and get out of the picture? Like to right here? I'll just try to stay back here. Kind of hard for me, but I can try. So I changed my message this morning as I was writing it. I don't know if you've ever done that before. You ever written a sermon? And then you're like one paragraph in and it all changed. Well, that's what happened on my very first page. It was going to be about hair. Yeah, well, the next one will be about hair. About short hair, long hair, no hair, hair down to there. The next sermon I'm going to do or message is going to be about hair. This one was supposed to be, but I kind of got off the subject a little bit. So I morphed the message to include my Friday night. I thought it was kind of fitting, a pretty good parallel from Jennifer and I's entertainment on Friday night. We sat four and a half hours on those really comfortable bleachers that are made out of aluminum, which is a type of hard metal. Yeah, they're really comfortable. I sat on a blanket, but we were there for 4.5 hours about on the bleachers at the high school where I was entertained by grandchildren and other children as well. I saw Zach, I saw, what's his name? Andrew. I saw Andrew. I saw a bunch of their friends. I saw Ben. I saw Alex. I saw some girl that was wearing Michael's football uniform. I saw a lot of people and visited with a few of them. And it was good entertainment. Halftime show for the first game, we were entertained by Alex. So when we go there for 4.5 hours, we watch two games because we have a grandson in the first game, and then we have two grandsons in the second game. So we see the whole show. So is this on yet? Here's Alex's halftime entertainment from the first game. Maybe. Did I go the wrong way? Did I turn it off? Oh, there he is. There's Alex. He's giving us a clinic on what centers do in the game of football, in that position, the center position. He's giving us a clinic. And if I only would have had my camera sooner, like 5 seconds before that, where that tall guy is standing with the floppy hair, Ben was in front of him going like this. And I so wanted that picture, but, you know, it's so far, and my voice goes when you try to yell. Well, so there's Alex showing off his center capabilities. And what he's really doing, you don't see. Does this not work? I don't know. It says on. It's got green. Oh, there it goes. There's what he's doing. That was a close-up. So there's Alex right there, and there's the guy he's snapping to, and he's really not even, he's not the long snapper, he's the regular snapper. I don't know who that guy back there is. Some guy. So that was our halftime entertainment for the first game. The team that was playing was in the locker room probably bragging to each other because they were winning. I don't know what they were doing in there, but that was halftime. So as I've been appearing for a few games, we went to, I don't know, 4 or 5 games this year. And then I'm sitting in the audience, you know, I'm there for 4.5 hours every time. And does it not work? Oh, I can tell you when to click unless they want to fix it. I don't know. It's fine either way. Now it works. There is a point to this. It's not only about Alex, okay? So I noticed in his first routine, he comes out before he does this clinic on a normal game, and he's in his street clothes. and he watches the game for a while in his cool position, just watching the game. And it's very cool from where I'm sitting. And then he'll disappear. He'll go back to wherever the locker room is, and maybe at halftime he'll come out with his uniform pants on and his game shoes, and he'll walk out there and he'll go to they have the bench wrapping, the bench where they wrap up the players' ankles and feet and elbows and whatever they get wrapped on. They have that right in the front of the audience. So he'll walk over there and get his shoes taped on, because while he's playing, he gets knocked out of his shoes. So he has to tape his shoes on. And then he'll disappear, and I won't see him again until he comes out in full uniform and the game is close to beginning. So that's Alex's routine. Did I get it right? Yeah, he does the same thing every time. He has a routine. He has a habit of how he gets ready for his game. So the halftime of the second game, we were entertained by Michael. While Alex's team is in the locker room getting yelled at or bragging, they were probably bragging because they won pretty big this time. They were bragging back and forth. And Michael is entertaining us at halftime. He's the one of the three players that has on a football uniform, because he played in the first game. He doesn't have time to change. And marching band is out there, and he's dazzling us with his sticks on the cymbals. That's what he's doing. And you can hear him, too. They have a big marching band, and he's pretty good at it. So we get to get that entertainment. I also saw a girl walking around that had that 32 number on, just so you know. I said something to her, and she goes, "Yeah, I know, it's Michael's number." So, and then I heard Saturday morning when I got up after this Friday night entertainment that Alex was lineman of the week again. Is that true? Wow, and you were like 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago. Pretty sure the game that Dylan got hurt in, you were lineman of the week. Is that the right game? The week before that. So it's at least two times you've been lineman of the week. How many guys are on your team? 60? 100? There's like more people than I can count out there. There's probably 50 or 60, I want to say. Maybe 70, I don't know. It's a lot. But he was lineman of the week second time, unless there was another time that you're not telling us about. No, there's not. Maybe. I'm not sure. Well, anyway, here's what Alex does. So I took these pictures because I had nothing else to do for 4.5 hours. Here's Alex, number 54. So he was not in vain on the sideline in that stance. He's given us a clinic on what to do because he is the center. That's the center. He holds the ball. He's the one that's lined up off sides every play. So, and I noticed in this game more than any other game that you're like a whole half a body ahead of everybody else. Is that normal, or did that always like that? Or I don't know. It used to be much more straight, but now he's way out there. And so when I took this picture, I wasn't sure I was going to get it. So I took two real quick. I mean real quick. And here's the next one. This is less than. See that number, that guy in the back? He's standing there on the line. Notice that guy when you look at the next picture too. Here's how far he got into his motion. He didn't even get his both feet across the line yet. And look at this mess. I don't know if that one's Alex or this one. I kind of don't think it's that one. I think it's this one. Not sure. But there's this big, and he's always in the bottom of it. Every game, every play. So those are the pictures that I took while I was being entertained on Friday night. But Josh took a couple, and he sent them to me, and this shows a little bit more of what he does. He's got a better camera than I do. So there's 54, that's Alex's number. He's got the ball again. He's lined up off sides. And Josh takes the next picture. He's much slower than I am. So there's number 54. He's getting in that guy's face. So Alex's job on the team, I think, he's a center, so his job is to get up in the other guy's face. At the split second, he's got to be in that guy's face. Is that right? And he's either, if he's thinking offensively, he's making a hole for the running back to run through, or he's preventing that giant from sacking the quarterback behind him, right? You have an offensive view, but you have to decide that how fast? Pretty quick, yeah. Okay, that was my entertainment on Friday. It was kind of fun. But that's the stuff that he does when he's playing football. And there's Andrew here and Ben here that also are on the team. Michael's on a different team, different coaches, stuff like that. He's younger, Michael's younger. So Alex has been working at this for quite a few years. Do you know how many years? I'm putting him on the spot totally. Six? 6 years? Yeah, didn't happen. I mean, 6 years to end up in a split-second decision, it's a lot of work. In fact, this past year, he gained 40 pounds to be more effective in the position that he's in because he knew what he was going to be when he was coming into the new year. And he is one of the smaller linemen. So he gained the 40 pounds, and he's still one of the smaller linemen. Anyway, that was kind of interesting to me. So that was a prelude to the message, by the way. Not really. It was an example as part of the message. So recently, we handed out a few Bibles here to people that may be developing an interest in God's Word or in church in general. And I think that's what we ought to do as a group. We need to recognize when people are searching and try to accommodate whatever it is they're searching for the best we can. So I think that's what we as a church need to pay attention to, things like that, because we are accommodating people. And also it's a way that we can promote God's Word, all right? So that's a small thing, a small gesture, but it is a gesture. So that's something that we've done lately. So I want to talk about the actual Word of God today. So this is the point. I had to erase a sentence in here, see? See, my notes are colorful, but you guys. I had to erase a sentence in here because I changed the whole direction of the message that quick in. And then I wrote the Alex stuff later. So I kind of want to talk about the Bible itself because there were some people here that got new Bibles. And I think it's good to know how to use it and what you would use it for. So that's kind of the direction I kind of want to go today. And sometimes when you're doing a message or anything else, you think you're going to go a direction and it goes off somewhere else. That's what happened today for me. So you never know. So I have several verses have been ringing in my ears lately, not just this past week or a few weeks. It's been a little while. Some verses keep coming to my mind and they keep going over. When we hear stuff like that, things come to our mind, maybe we should stop and listen. You know, maybe God's telling us by our remembering the same thing like that song you had, Sarah. Maybe God's telling us that, hey, here's something you need to pay attention to. So these things have been ringing in my ears even louder than my tinnitus, which is ringing pretty loud right now. Can you guys hear it? I can, pretty loud. It's even louder than that. So one of them is from Matthew 4, and I have a slide about it. And you would probably, if you've been here on a Wednesday or another time and heard me get on a soapbox, you might have heard this verse. Matthew 4, 1 through 4 says, and this is about Jesus, and when Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he became hungry. Yeah, he kind of probably would be, wouldn't he? 40 days and 40 nights. The tempter came to him and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread, which I fully believe Jesus could have done. Commanded the stones to become bread, and he could have eaten the bread. Then he wouldn't be hungry, right? Solved the problem. But He answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." And I don't know if there's a space here or not. There's not. So that "it is written" says man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God is in quotations in that verse. For you people that are new to Bibles and stuff, that quotation means that in this case, it's a reference that he's quoting from somewhere else. So he's quoting this from Deuteronomy 8. The devil's talking to him, and he's answering the devil with verses. And the verses he used are in Deuteronomy 8, 1 through 4. It's in this. It's not all of it, but it's in the middle of it. And I think this is kind of like an interesting thing, some points that you can look at and consider as we go through this one. Deuteronomy 8, 1 through 4 says, "All the commandments I am commanding you," this is God talking to Moses about right before they go into the promised land. So they've already wandered in the wilderness. And this is God talking to Moses. "You should be careful to do all the things that I command, that you live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to give to your forefathers." So this is they're on the border, ready to go into Jericho. They got to cross the river, and then they go into the promised land. "You should remember," number two, "you should remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. He humbled you and let you be hungry." Very parallel to the thing about Jesus, wasn't it? "He let you be hungry and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone." So this is what Jesus is quoting in Matthew 4 to the devil. He's taken this verse and answering the devil's temptation with a verse. Man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. And then this is a little side note. I just included this verse, number 4. This is God talking to Moses. "While they were wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, their clothes did not wear out, neither did their foot swell these 40 years." Can you imagine wearing the same pants for 40 years and they don't even have holes in the knees? And your shoes don't wear off, completely off in 40 years? How many pairs of shoes does a 40-year-old wear in his life? Probably more than one, right? Probably quite a few pairs of shoes. So there's some interesting stuff in here. 40-day fast Jesus was coming off of, the devil tempted him. When he refers back to that verse, it says that they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. God fed them with manna that their fathers did not know. Jesus was giving food to all the Jewish leaders, and they did not know what he was talking about. It's very similar things. But he was trying to make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but everything that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It's very interesting comparisons, the temptation of the devil all the way back to Deuteronomy 8. I thought that was, I never noticed that before, so I brought it up. So there's a whole lot of Bible that we're calling the Word of God. There's a lot in here. It's big, it's thick, it's got a lot of pages. Some of them, they're really thin, so they can get more pages in the same amount of space. As we read it and pay attention to it, we will occasionally see a place where, here and there, where there are men's words in here. Not all of it is God's sanctioned word. There are stories in there written where this man said this or that man said that, and it's not God's word. So there's something that we need to pay attention to while we read through the Bible. Who's talking? Who are they talking to? What are they talking about? And here we teach and believe that the 40-some authors of this word of God is written and inspired and sometimes commanded what to write down. They're all inspired by God in some way or another. And God spoke to these men in different ways, sometimes dreams, sometimes a voice. Sometimes he would tell one person to say something to another person that who really was the message was for. But as you go through the Bible, you'll see all those different scenarios. But we also believe and teach here that the Word of God is our source from God to find out what the truth is. We talked a little bit about this in class this morning in that room in there. The Bible, God's Word, is the truth. I have a slide here that shows one of the verses. So Jesus is saying to those Jews who believed him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So the thing that makes us free is the truth. And it's in here. It's not somewhere else. Here's another verse about it. John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. That's something we need to remember. The only way we can get to God is through Christ. Here's another verse. It also talks about the truth. This is in Jesus' prayer right before he was crucified. Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. So Jesus is saying, this is what the truth is, God's word. As Paul Harvey would say, page 4. These three verses show us that the truth of what God says or told people to say is important. So the truth is important. You can say, oh, it's not that important. The truth is important. We should not try to add on or be trying to add on to God's truth, because then it's not God's truth. Then it's our truth mixed with God's truth. Let's just stick with what God has to say. It's important. His truth should be the foundation of how we build our character and our lives. Remember, we live on every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Not just one or two, every word. That's what we live on. And we'll get into that in a couple minutes. God's truth is certain in our uncertain world. And I think you can see how uncertain our world is. You don't even know if it's true, first of all. We talked about that in class. You see something on TV, they say it's news. Sometimes it's just made up stuff. Sometimes it's not. So this is an uncertain world, but God's truth is certain. So how can we use God's word to help us now? Well, one way is we can find wisdom. Proverbs 2:6 says, for the Lord gives wisdom. This is part of the truth of God. God gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. In the New Testament, James 1:5 says, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So if you don't have wisdom and you want it, all you have to do is ask God for it. James 1:5. How else can God's word help us now? In Paul's letter to Timothy, it says, this is in 2 Timothy, so it's his second letter to Timothy. It says, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness. And number 17, I included, I wasn't going to, but I did, because it ends up with every good work. So that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. And that's our point, is to do good works. But it's telling us that we can learn from God's word. It teaches us. It teaches us how to act literally. I don't know if you hate it when people say literally or not, because half the time it doesn't mean literally, but this time it means literally. God's word teaches us how to act, what we're supposed to do literally. To act out our good works. So good works have action. We can use God's word in a practical way by being guided by his word. We get into a sticky spot. God's word can guide us or coach us, as Alex would have had to rely on some coaching in his football career. I don't know if I said the right word or not. But some of his success would be because he practiced and spent the time practicing. But some of his success would be that he would listen to his coaches and be willing to listen to his coaches. So it takes more than just one thing. So God's word can guide us. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and don't lean on your own understanding, which is what you think. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. So if you think that you have the right answer when you go into God's word, you're not listening to God's word. You're looking for his right answer. You should be. Psalm 119, this was one of the songs we sang today. Your word, God's word, is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It can guide us where to go. We can use the word to show us where to go. It's a light for our path so we know where to walk. Isaiah 30:21. Your ears will hear a word behind you. This is the way. Walk in it whenever you turn to the right or the left. So if you keep in God's word and use God's word, those verses that are ringing in my ears is what this is. Your ears will hear a word behind you. Go this way or go that way. God is directing you by what you find in his word. Studying God's word causes us to grow spiritually. Here are a few verses that support that idea that spiritual growth comes from studying God's word. So spiritual growth is directly related to reading God's word or studying God's word. Here Peter is writing to the Christians around 66 AD. Does anybody remember that? One of you guys that had a birthday? You remember 66 AD? I almost do. It's like the year before I was born. In 2 Peter 3:17 and 18, it says, you therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on guard so that you will not be carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness. So it's telling us to be steadfast and don't, and kind of watch out for people that don't follow the rules. They're unprincipled. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. And then I have another one. It says, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, but rather according to Christ. So as you guys get older, that are getting older, ready for college and stuff like that, that's what you're going to learn in college, according to the tradition of men. Some of the stuff you're going to is irrelevant. It doesn't have to do with that. But there's a lot of philosophy taught in the colleges that is not what the truth of God is. So it's something to be aware of, be wary of as you go on. Colossians 1, 9, and 10, for this reason also, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him in all respects. So that's kind of the goal, that we need to walk in a way that pleases God. Bearing fruit in every good work, remember the works, and increasing in the knowledge of God. As this set of verses mention, praying is also a key discipline in spiritual growth. The other ones talked about growing and being more spiritual, but prayer is a big part of spiritual growth, and we need to remember to pray. That reminds me of my entertainment on Friday night, by the way. It's kind of cool to see when they were taking a moment of silence for Dylan at the beginning of the game, that the whole football team knelt together in prayer right there in front of everybody. No one was saying, oh, I'm not going to do that, I'm too cool. Even the cool man knelt down in prayer with all the other guys publicly. So it's something that we maybe aren't used to, but maybe we need to get used to. So probably the best way God's word helps us is it offers salvation. And I'll start with Psalms 3:8 it says salvation belongs to the Lord. So that would be a truth of God. Anything to do with salvation belongs to the Lord. And that's Lord, L-O-R-D, all uppercase. And if you read your Bible and you know about the uppercase Lord, that's his name. That would be Yahweh. If it's translated, it would be Yahweh. So it's talking about God's actual name. So salvation actually belongs to God. God that has a name. His name is Yahweh. The next slide I have is 1 Corinthians 1:18 through 20, which I made a little longer because there's good information in there. For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. So religion, to the people who don't care about religion, is foolish. Obviously, they don't care. They don't have a future plan. They're going to go for what they can get now. But to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. So that's where the world's message is big in success. But the Christian message is big in the Word of God. The word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. And this is God speaking. I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. And the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. This is a promise. This isn't a threat. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? So we find out as we study this Bible and talk about the Bible and read it and understand it that the wisdom here is not like the wisdom of the world. It's very different. And we need to remember what the truth is. The truth isn't here. It's not in the world. Excuse me. So be careful where you get your wisdom. Are you going to get it at the college that we're about to attend? Are we going to get it from a psychology professor? Are we going to get it from the Bible? If you want salvation, it's in here. I have probably the most famous verse next. Does anybody know what it's going to be? Most famous book in the whole Bible. He said it, John 3:16 and 17. Because 17 has an important message. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. That's the salvation I'm talking about. God's word offers salvation, and it comes through Jesus, God's Son. So how can we engage with the Bible today? How can we show seriousness about our faith? Well, I saw a little bit Friday night at the football game. There were people that were willing to stand up and say, yeah, we're going to pray for this hurt boy. And we're not ashamed about it. We're going to do it. Anybody that wants to watch, go ahead. This is what we're going to do. That's showing seriousness about faith. One thing that we can do to help show seriousness about our faith is to set times to regularly read the Bible. Set regular times to read the Bible. If it's a time in the morning, if it's a time in the night, whatever. I say morning is better because at night you're already worn out and you're not going to remember. In the morning you are going to remember. That's me. But, you know, other people are different. But set a time, a regular time, even if it isn't a lot of time, 5 minutes. But make reading it a habit. And then as we grow from that spiritually, because reading the Bible causes spiritual growth, it will automatically cause us to grow spiritually. I think that your allotted time will grow as well if it was only 5 minutes. And you're more willing to spend a half an hour, not because, oh, I got to spend a half an hour, but because you want to know what it's going to say to you that day. And you're going to want to know more. But in order to get there, we have to read regularly. So that's part of the discipline of being a Christian. Approach the word with humility. Let it speak to you. Don't come in with an idea like, I know all this stuff. I've got it all figured out. Let the Bible speak to you. It has words in there. Read them and then let them sink in. Think about it for a while. Remember to pray for God for understanding and wisdom. Because if you pray for it, he'll give it to you. That's what it said in James 1:5. Respond to God's word. As you discover what God's will is, act on it. Act on what you're learning. Don't just think about what you're learning. Act on what you're learning. I believe that God pays closer attention to us when we pay closer attention to him. When we read his word, we're paying attention to God. Obedience brings blessing. Another way that we can show or engage in God's word is talking to others about God's word and what it means for you. That's how God's word is spread. If his word is a big part of our life, it will show in our conversation when, no matter who we're talking to, it'll show up. And we can engage with it, with our friends, our families, our fellow workers, anybody who will listen. I have a couple of verses very near the end. Romans 1:16 is, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." So there is no shame in using God's word and promoting God's word. There shouldn't be any shame. Salvation's in there. Why would there be shame? I have another verse as a last verse. "A new commandment I give to you." This is Jesus speaking. "I give you a new commandment." Shouldn't be a surprise. Jesus brought a new commandment. "That you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples." And I think that's really the point. People should know that we are disciples of Christ. And here's how they know: if you have love for one another. If you don't have love for one another, no one's going to recognize you as a Christian. So being a good Christian is similar to the example I showed with being a good football player. I called him a good football player, you guys, in front of everybody, and I wasn't even ashamed. Being a good football player doesn't just happen. We heard from a minute ago from his own testimony of 6 years of work at that. It takes time, it takes commitment, it takes practice. It also takes willingness to listen to coaches. So it is being a good Christian. It takes commitment, time, practice, study, being aware of what's around us so that we can engage with it, showing our good works and love to others. When Christ returns back to this earth again to set up his kingdom, we want to be found by him doing his good work. So let's close this morning service by